Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Pastor Joel Sickler, and I trust that you'll be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
C.S. Lewis, the author and writer of the previous century, tried to capture the incarnation in his Chronicles of Narnia children's series. In Narnia, the world is trapped under the rule of the White Witch, which symbolizes the curse of sin, and the arrival of Aslan, the majestic and humble lion, who symbolizes Jesus, comes and breaks the witch's hold and brings new hope to the land. Aslan doesn't remain distant or aloof, but he walks among the creatures of Narnia, speaks with them, and participates in their struggles. He represents the essence of the incarnation, God stepping into our world to be God with us and to share in our human experience. Then, to save Edmund, Aslan willingly offers his life, laying down his majesty to die on the stone table. His resurrection then breaks the power of evil and death, just as Jesus' death and resurrection defeated sin and brought salvation. You know, the incarnation was not just about God entering the world, but entering it for a purpose, to save us. C.S. Lewis wrote of Aslan's loving, sacrificial entry into Narnia, and it mirrors Jesus' mission of redemption. Jesus, the King of all kings, came and laid down his life to provide redemption to sinful man. God Himself became a baby and walked among us so that He may take our sin upon Himself. As we celebrate Christmas, really that is what we're celebrating. A God who would love in such a manner that He would lay down His majesty and come and live among us. I hope you're able to stay with us for today's message as Pastor Goin talks about Emmanuel, the God who is with us.
I want to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, and I want to read just one verse of Scripture this morning, and we will turn to some other passages throughout the message, but beginning with Matthew chapter 1, and verse number 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. May God add His blessing to the reading of His word. This morning, I'd like to take you back to elementary school. That's a lot further back for some of you than it is for others. We're going to open our English books and just have a short lesson in grammar. Maybe it's been a long time since you've thought about some of these terms, but you remember that sentences are made up of words like nouns and pronouns and verbs and adjectives and adverbs. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right. And there's every complete sentence must have a subject and a verb. Do we have any English teachers in the congregation? All right, we have at least one, Sister Cypher. So I'll be on my toes and try to use some good grammar. But I want you to imagine with me, there's one part of speech that's important that I want to point to, and it's a preposition. Just imagine with me that your elementary grammar teacher is standing at the front of the classroom by the blackboard or the marker board or the smart board, depending on what generation you're from, and she's getting ready to explain what a preposition is. What is a preposition, class? Putting it very simply, a preposition is a word that indicates the location or the relation of one person or one thing to another person or thing. Prepositions are words like beneath or among or between, inside, outside, over, under, within, without. And so we would say this morning that you are inside a church. You are sitting on a pew. We are all under the roof. You're sitting beside someone. A preposition indicates your location or your relationship to something or to someone. Now, I, for one, have always enjoyed studying grammar, but for a lot of folks, I know that the mechanics of grammar are boring, and so we won't stay there for long. Maybe it's been years since you've thought about prepositions. But there are some very important prepositions in the Bible that help us understand God's location and God's relationship to us as His creation. And maybe you've never thought that you could be encouraged by some prepositions. But as I study my Bible, there are some important prepositions that I want us to consider. I think some of the most important prepositions that have ever been written. And I'd like to preach to you for a few minutes this morning about what I'm calling Christmas prepositions. Now, many people, when they think of God, they use the wrong prepositions to describe His location, His relationship to them. They think of God as being apart from them so as not to really understand their lives. Or they think of God as being so far above them that He's not able to look down and see the little things in life that matter to us. Or else they think of God being so far off that He really doesn't care about what we go through. Some people think of God being so far outside of this world that they could never know Him in a personal way. In fact, they have a hard time thinking that He would want to know them. Some people think that God is against them. And they imagine a God who likes to ruin their fun and make life miserable. Some people think of God as being beyond the realm of possibility. There is no God, or if there is a God, He never takes notice of this world. They have their prepositions all mixed up. And because of that, they end up thinking that God is unreachable, unknowable, unloving, uncaring, a God very much removed from the practical aspects of life, a God who is more of an enemy than a friend. But I want you to know this morning that when you begin to get to know God for who He really is, and not just the way you've imagined Him to be, then you start to get your prepositions straightened out. And you start to notice that God is so much better and so much closer than you ever imagined before. And the story of the Bible, the story of God's Word, the grand narrative from Genesis through to Revelation is all about a God letting us know who He is and what He's like. Now, in the Old Testament, in the beginning, you could easily get the idea that God is far away. Just think with me for a minute. Exodus chapter 19, the children of Israel are in the wilderness. They come to Mount Sinai, and God is on top of Mount Sinai. And He tells Moses, I want you to set this boundary around the mountain and tell the people don't cross that boundary. And if they did cross it, it's immediate death. Even if a cow or a sheep or a goat crosses this line, this boundary, it would die. That seems to indicate a God who is far removed, a God that can't be experienced in a personal way, a God that we couldn't really know intimately. And then in the very next chapter of Exodus, God thunders forth the requirements of the law, and the people stand far away, Exodus 20, 21. But then you move forward about 20 chapters, and you get to Exodus chapter 40, And God comes a little closer to his people. God speaks to Moses. And it says, I want you to build a tabernacle. What he's saying is, I want you to set up my tent in the middle of all of the tents of the people of Israel. And so Moses constructs the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle is completed, God comes down from the mountain and he moves right into the middle of the people. God moves into the neighborhood. Exodus chapter 40 described it. What an incredible scene. The Bible says that a cloud covered the tent of congregation. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses wasn't able to enter the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. After the time that God descended on his tabernacle, his divine presence rested in the midst of the people. But still there was this divide. Not just everybody could approach God directly. There was a veil, there was a curtain that separated the common man from entering into God's presence. Only the high priest on the divinely appointed Day of Atonement could enter into the presence of God, the direct presence of God. And through the years, as the Israelites moved through those cycles of obedience and then defiance to God and punishment and then revival and repentance, these cycles, God spoke to his prophets and he said through them, he said, one day I'm going to come down, and when I come, I'll be closer than ever before. And in all the Old Testament, there was no prophet who spoke more about this time when God would come closer than the prophet Isaiah. In fact, Isaiah speaks more of the coming of the Messiah. He speaks so much about the coming of the Messiah that some have called the book of Isaiah the fifth gospel. But none of the predictions that Isaiah made tell us more about God's intentions than Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. I can almost hear this prophet of God as he announces the first Christmas preposition that changes everything. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. 600 years later, Matthew is recording the events of Christ's birth. He repeats Isaiah's words, and we read them this morning. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And just in case there's any question what this name Emmanuel means, he gives us the meaning, which being interpreted is, he says, God with us. Did you catch that preposition? Not God far away, not too far above to be noticed, not beyond the realm of possibility, but God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And so the mysterious God on top of Mount Sinai became God in the cloud, filling the tabernacle, but he's coming closer still. He's coming to be with us. And when the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And somebody put it this way, now the Most High God became the Most Nigh God. One writer put it so beautifully, God had come near. He came not as a flash of light or as an unapproachable conqueror, but as one whose first cries were heard by a peasant girl and a sleepy carpenter. The hands that first held him were calloused, unmanicured, and dirty. No silk, no ivory, no hype, no party, no hoopla. Were it not for the shepherds, there would have been no reception. And were it not for a group of stargazers, there would have been no gifts. And the universe watched with wonder as the Almighty God learned to walk. Children played in the street with him. It could be said, perhaps his knees were bony. One thing's for sure, Jesus was completely divine and completely human. 100% God, 100% man. God with us. God became one of us. One of the great church fathers said that when Jesus came in the incarnation, wrapped in human flesh, he forever altered the Trinity. God with us changes everything, does it not? God with us changes the most boring, mundane moments of life. God with us changes the most difficult moments of life. He's with us in the good times, and he's with us in the bad times. He is with us when there seems to be more bills than there is money. He's with us when our responsibilities outweigh our time and energy. He's with us when discouragement seems to be pressing down on us. He's with us when we've just been betrayed by a friend. He's with us when we're disappointed that we didn't get the job or the promotion. He's with us when the doctor tells us what we didn't want to hear. He's with us when we're the one who's sick. He's with us when the chilly wind taunts us as we walk away from a freshly dug grave in a cemetery where we didn't want to be. Emmanuel, God is with us. God with man is now residing. Yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. I was reading some time ago that in the Jewish tradition, there is a reading and a song that's called Dayenu. It's a part of the celebration of the Passover. And Dayenu is a Hebrew word. It can be translated several different ways. One of its meanings is, it would have been enough. And part of the Dayenu is a responsive reading that goes something like this. The Jewish people would read this in the Passover. If God had taken us out of Egypt, but not made judgments on the Egyptians, it still would have been enough for us. Or if he had split the Red Sea for us, but had not taken us through on dry land, it still would have been enough for us. If he had pushed down our enemies in the Red Sea, but had not supplied our needs for us in the wilderness, it still would have been enough. And the Dayenu goes on like this through the story of the Exodus. But this morning we could add to the Dayenu and we could say, God, if your only act of grace was to come down to be with us, Dayenu, that would have been enough. But it didn't end there. God is with us, and that's a wonderful Christmas preposition, but there's another preposition that I want you to get this morning. On that first Christmas, when Emmanuel came down in the little village of Bethlehem, he came down to be with us. He dwelt among us. And the day was coming that Jesus, who came down, was going back up to heaven. But he wasn't going to cease to be Emmanuel, God with us. He had something more in mind. And so in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, Jesus spoke to his disciples and he said, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Who is this comforter, Jesus? Even the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be. Now listen to this. This is the second Christmas preposition. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. In you. What a promise. If God had simply said, I will be with you, that would have been enough. But he came closer. He said, I will dwell in you. Do you remember that progression? God making himself known. First, it's God on the mountain. And then he comes down and he settles in the tabernacle. And then he comes down in human flesh. And all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, God has this tabernacle among people and then a temple. And at Christmas, he comes down. He's born to die on Calvary's cross. But through his victory on the cross of Calvary, the temple becomes unnecessary. And God intends to live not inside a tabernacle built with human hands. He wants to live inside human hearts. The hearts of men and women who open the door and prepare the way and invite him to live inside. And so in the Old Testament, God had a tabernacle for his people. But in the New Testament, God has a people for his tabernacle. And after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended in power and glory on the believers gathered there, it wasn't just God with us. It was God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of us, tabernacling among us and within us. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul tells us that each of us are a building block. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and as building blocks, we make up the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're in Christ, builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You, my friend, this morning, whoever you are, all of us were created for a high and holy purpose. You were designed to have God living inside of you. You were meant to be a house where God's Holy Spirit dwells. The church is to be a place where God's Holy Spirit dwells. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you? If any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. God with us wants to be God in us. And if you're a Christian this morning, God lives inside of you, and you are set apart by God, and you're called to be holy as He is holy.
The distance seems so endless. How do to span the gulf that stands between your glory and our sin? How could a God so holy choose to listen as we pray? High and lifted, placed so lowly, only love could find.
You've been listening to a message preached by Reverend Curtis Going, Senior Pastor of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. If you have any questions or comments about this broadcast, please give us a call at 717-273-3690. That's 717-273-3690. Or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. Missionary Echoes is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to join with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for morning worship, and 6 o'clock in the evening for worship service. On Wednesday nights, we gather for a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. Now, over the holidays, there are multiple special events and services that we would like to have you come and enjoy at Lebanon God's Missionary Church. This evening at 6 o'clock, the youth of our church will be sharing The Shop, Surrendered, an original drama written and directed by Dustin Habecker. Then, next Sunday, we'll begin our regular worship service at 9:30 in the morning, and then in the evening we'll have our annual Christmas candlelight service with special music and readings shared for Christmas. We hope to see you in person, but if that's not possible, you can always watch our services live online at lebanongmc.com. There you'll also find information on upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us. My friend, we look forward to having you with us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing through this coming week.
Say with joy, Jesus is born. There in a manger, he was no stranger. Prophesied, now alive, Jesus is born. The bells are ringing, people are singing. Angels say with joy, Jesus is born. There in a manger, he was no stranger. Prophesied, now alive, Jesus is born. Glorified, still alive, Jesus is Lord. Glorified, still alive.